for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Thursday evening service of the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the speaker on this.
Begins to move everything in focus and in position. Hey, that's what God's doing tonight. He's moving everything in position, isn't he? All right? And in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Well, you know this story. That's Moses. The baby is Moses. But his father comes from the house of Levi. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. He couldn't just go and take a wife anywhere. He had to go to the house of Levi and take a wife, because God is getting ready to raise up a deliverer, and he has to have certain characteristics. And so God is going here for a thoroughbred, if you please. Now, I'll have to stop here long enough to say that God's not interested in genealogy as we know genealogy, tracing. And this has nothing to do with that. But he's certainly interested in traits that will be spiritual to us and were natural to them. And when he raises up this sonship company, this elite, there is an elect people and then there is a very elect people. And the very elect people are the ones that are going to walk in the life. And that's what I said my hope is, to walk in the life with the very elect. And everybody that has the Holy Ghost is a candidate if you want to be. But you have to have a revelation of this. You won't get lost and just wander into none of this. All right? Now, he sends this Levite to a Levite to take a Levite. He's going for a thoroughbred. He's breeding him. We used to breed horses and cattle, and my granddaddy breeded them for certain. You know, you want a strong horse or a fast one? How about a strong, fast one? All right. You do that. And in animals and in the spirit, it's taking place in the body of Christ, in the spirit realm. And all right. So he's going for a thoroughbred. Say, I had a guy at work for me one time. He raised fighting chickens, fighting roosters. And he kept a log on them things you wouldn't believe. It had their genealogy in there, you know, in the cabinet and the files. And he fought them things. It's illegal, but, you know, they fight them anyhow. And if one of his roosters quit in the ring, before he fights to the death. And if he quit in the ring, well, what he'd do is take that chicken and kill him. Right there on the spot. Just kill him right on the spot. But that ain't all he done. He goes back and goes through his file, and then he eradicates everything that's kin to this chicken. Well, under the old law, if your brother committed some heinous crime, they put him to death, and you too, just for being his brother. Well, anyway, this guy would kill all of that rooster's ancestors because a strain showed up in him that he didn't like. Now, but so what God's looking for, he sees a strain in this Levitical tribe that he likes. And so he's going to concentrate that and bring forth a leader that can defy the strongest nation in the world. He's trying to, let me show you what some of the characteristics are here that he's looking for in the In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, we turn over here and we read in verse 23, by faith when he was born, this is Moses, by faith Moses when he was born was hid 3 months of his parents, we read that over, because they saw he was a proper child. Now here's the, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The king had commanded that all the babies be killed, all the male children be killed. But he says here that these parents were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, that's the strain that God was looking for right there. He wants somebody that won't fold under pressure. Hallelujah. And that's not afraid to defy the king of this great nation. And so he's looking for this strain. And then we come on down here and pick Moses up himself in the 27th verse of the same chapter. By faith he forsook Egypt, Moses. Here it is. Not fearing the wrath of the king. They got it. God captured it. Hallelujah. Amen. He's got a lineage started there now in Moses. And Moses said, all right, God's going to raise up one from among you, right from among the brethren, and he's going to be like unto me, and you will believe all things that he says, and he'll be your leader, and he'll lead you on to victory. I'm paraphrasing, but he said those things. He's going to raise you up one like unto me, one that has a strain of won't fold under pressure. Won't give in. Just keeps on going on and coming on. He's not afraid of the civil system. He's not afraid of organized crime. He's not afraid of any of these things. He'll just do the will of the Father. Oh, hey, and it has pleased God that by him, God will bring many sons to glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So God, that's what he did. He got this right genealogy going the right way here. He raises up a man that's fearless by the name of Moses. A man that's fearless, and he's humble enough to obey God and fearless enough to stand before God's enemy and declare. You know, Pharaoh tried to deal with him finally when he couldn't intimidate him. He finally tried to deal with him and offered to let him go or let some of them go, if leave some of them here. And Moses finally told him, he said, when we go, we won't leave one hoof here. We just all my commission, I have a commission to take this people into the wilderness and do a 3-day sacrifice. And that's as far as my orders are right now. And I don't know what will be demanded of us after that. So we're going to take it all with us as we go. And whatever God demands, we'll have it right here. We'll be ready. We'll be ready to go. We're ready for battle. And yet he was humble enough to always hear God and to be a great leader. He's the greatest leader that Israel ever had. With nobody pressing him for a second. Samuel, if anybody pressed him, it would be Samuel. And God began to specifically raise him up. All right, now let me turn over here to Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. Let me read verse 14 in chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many, not all, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if we want to determine whether we're sons or not, those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons. But all over this nation, there are people that are claiming to be sons of God that do not observe 30-fold principles, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, sons are 100. And there's people that claims to be sons of God, and they don't observe 30-fold principles. But that cannot be, that brethren cannot be. They are not sons of God. They may be children of God, all right, but they're not sons. The word son takes on the aspect of being mature, authority. And they certainly are not. They have never known, never learned anything about divine placement, divine order in the church. And no, sir, they don't want it. They want to do everybody just do their own thing, you know. Say, you can't do that. If you're going to be numbered in this group, you cannot do that. You have to submit. Say, and there never will be a time that you won't have to submit. Don't have any aspirations of rising to a great height that there you won't have to submit to something or somebody. It never will happen. It just won't happen. No matter how high you rise in the military, Brother Speed, you always got somebody's done rose a little higher, hadn't he? Yeah, and you have to be submissive. That's the order of sonship. Let me turn us now to Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'd read here. Say, this is where some of the, this is where the Lord began. This may not be the exact place that he began with me, but it was right near the beginning. This is where he began with me when he began to move me into sonship. And let's read it. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers, notice the word all here, were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many, now this the context changes here. It has been all, and now, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. All right. Now, the old order that I came up through, they had a blanket coverage for everything. Everybody was, if you believed in the rapture, well, you believed that if you got saved tonight, and the rapture took place an hour later, that you'd be called out. Well, that's blanket coverage. Because if there was a rapture, it wouldn't work that way. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So then, we partook of all these things. This was church. We've been baptized, and we've eaten manna. We've drank from the spiritual rock. Everything they did in the natural, we have enjoyed it in the spirit. We are indeed, they indeed foreshadow us, the church now, coming through the wilderness. We're in the wilderness now. That's why nothing is in perfection here. Nothing. We have perfected no phase of the ministry. Hey, over 40 years I've been ministering and I have perfected no phase of the ministry. I've laid hands on the sick and they have recovered. I laid hands on some more sick and they died. Hey, that bothered me. Say, it was perplexing. I was often called on to come pray for the sick in the old order to come up through. And I'd pray for somebody and they'd get a miracle healing. And it seemed like I didn't have to do very much, you know, didn't seem like faith wasn't all as high as it should have been. But things happened. And then a week later or 2 weeks later, under the almost identical circumstances, I did almost the identical same thing and nothing happened. And that honestly, it worried me. And I wondered why. And little did I know that, of course, you don't want to get, you know, complacent. But I realized that I was just moving in a parts realm. I heard Paul say, prophecies in part, and all of it's in part. I was moving in a parts realm. And say, that's all I've ever moved in, is the parts realm. I've been in some lofty places in the parts realm. Things have happened that were miraculous, and just sovereign things have happened. And that's just in parts realm. But I, one time I came off of an airplane at the Kennedy Airport, New York, and to come off the ramp, and down the ramp there, there's a lady standing down there. And I was coming along with a bunch of other guys, you know, we just I wasn't particular with any of them. I was just coming home from Europe. As I come along there, this lady was standing aside watching her, but I let you know there's somebody come in. And when I came by, she reached out and grabbed me by the arm. And she said, would you step over here, sir? I want to speak with you. And I stepped over. I never had seen her before. She never had seen me before either. And she said to me, said, you're an apostle, aren't you? And I said, well, hey, I'm a preacher. And she said, yeah, I know. Said, the Lord told me you'd be on this flight. She said, is your name John? I said, no, it's Jack. She said, well, John and Jack's same, isn't they? She said, the Lord told me that that you'd be coming in on this flight, and when you came down, if I'd stop you, you'd minister to us. I said, I got about 30 people over here in the way over in the corner there waiting. And I said, well, all right. I mean, what? Yeah. But I mean, I'm a little dazzled here, but she's called all the shots so far, and she's, you know, and I'm going to follow her over there. So I followed her over there, and sure enough, they said, well, we want you to teach. And I said, all right, could we sing a chorus or two or something? You know, I'm reading this one. Well, so we sang. She said, how long you got? And I said, oh, I've got a 2-hour wait over here. Yeah. Yes. Well, we can use you. Lord use you. So we sang a few and I preached. And then they were mostly Mennonites. And from something almost like Mennonites up in that area. Yeah, I think so. Anyway, we made Pentecostals out of some of them the next 2 hours. But say we started off with that 30 and I got to preaching around there, you know, I pulled out all stops. And I'm not going to be back here. So I preached and then I gave an invitation. Who all wants to receive baptism, Holy Ghost? And several of them did. And they came and I laid hands on them. And they received the baptism, spoke in tongues. I don't know how many of them, but there were several of them. Well, say, what happened there? I mean, I didn't motivate it. I didn't have anything to do with it other than just obedience. But this lady, hey, I do a teaching that I call when the initiative of man correlates with the sovereignty of God. Things will happen. God's sovereignty alone wasn't enough there. It wasn't enough. He set up everything, but it has pleased God that through humanity, through his man, he'll make things happen. Hallelujah. She said, how'd you know me? She said, well, the Lord told me that you was biggest, you'd be a big guy and biggest John. And I said, well, how you know how big John was? Well, said, I seen him. And I didn't even bother to ask her how. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Say, that's God, isn't it? Yeah. God's done so many. And say, I did this in the parts realm. Boy, what if I'd have been operating in the fullness? We'd saved everybody in that airport that night. I was just in the parts room there. I'll tell you this little story. I was on my way to Breezewood, Pennsylvania, and I had stayed all night in Roanoke, Virginia. And I got up the next morning. It was Sunday morning. And I was supposed to be there for Sunday night preach. As I was driving along there about 10 o'clock, and I thought, boy, I don't remember the last time I hadn't been in church at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. It's been a spell, and I said to myself, I kindly miss it, too. And but I hadn't drove 10 miles at that. I seen the sign that says, free coffee and donuts and, at a roadside park, one of those big, nice parks. And it was one of those that kind of goes up levels, you know, and then up another level. Well, when I pulled in there, it was a Boy Scout or something. I don't know if it's Boy Scouts, but some organization like that. They were giving away coffee, or you donated to it, you know. And I started, just as I pulled in, there was two buses pulled in, chartered buses. And I pull in here and stop. And they pull up there and stop, and people start piling off of them. And I start on up toward where the donuts are. And a couple of guys were singing a chorus that I know, you know, in these courses we sing. And I said, "Oh, you all know that chorus?" "Yeah." I said, "Man," said, "yeah." I said, "We sang courses." I said, "We just lost. We was going to go to church this morning. Wasn't no place for us to go. We couldn't, you know, a little church wouldn't hold two busloads, just visitors." And I said, "Y'all going to have a service?" I said, "We would if we had a preacher." And I said, "You got one." They said, they went hollering, dressed them. Come on, we got a preacher here. So we, again, I made them sing. You know? And then I preached and gave an invitation. They were denominal people, but I don't know how many of them got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, it was just like that. Say, and I didn't do nothing really outstanding. I just, you know, preached. And, And we got through, when I finally, the service finally closed, it lasted about an hour, hour and a half, I guess. And when it finally closed, well, one of the guys said, "Let's take this preacher up an offering." So he grabs a hat and passes the hat around. I said, "Well, let's give it to this cause, whatever it is here, you know, what's selling donuts for. Let's donate it to them." Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't want any gain out of that. I had had enough. Praise the Lord. Well, say I did all of that. The Lord did all of that through me just in the bathroom. Well, my goodness, I don't know if us in the fullness, maybe we'd just put up a roadblock and got everybody to come through, eh? Well, say, something has to happen bigger than has happened before, doesn't it? Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. And the sons of God. I thought one preacher was preaching down in the camp, Brother Creason. You hear him say, Sister Irma, that somebody told him he didn't look like a preacher. I said, "Well, I guess I must have looked like one." those things happen. And that's just a sprinkling of things that have happened to me over the years as I have operated in the parts realm. I prophesied to let me tell you this one, because this is really good. And I don't mean to be boasting. It's only in the Lord. Couldn't have done any of these things. And I'm still kind of baffled at how it happened. All of it happened. But I was coming from, been over in another state, and was on the way home, and my wife was with me, and she got hungry. And she just wanted to stop and eat. So I passed several good places, she thought. And she, "You're passing all the good ones." I said, "All right. The next one we see, a sign says, restaurant, cafe, or eat. I'm going to stop." So we hadn't gone far to see one. Restaurant. And so I pulled in. It was in a little shopping center deal-like. And when I got out of the car, we parked right in front of the restaurant. When I got out of the car, the Spirit said to me, as I stood up, just locking the door, and my wife's getting out on the other side, and the Spirit said to me, said, "Attach yourself to that gift shop." And I knew I was being instructed. So I said to myself, "Where's the gift shop?" I looked, sure enough, down there, about a half a block was a gift shop. And I'd never been here before in my life. And my wife hadn't either. I'll just ignore that because, you know, my wife won't eat. So I said to her, as we went toward the cafe, and the Spirit said to me again, "Attach yourself to the gift shop." And I told my wife, I said, "I have the profoundest sensation here. The Lord's telling me to attach myself to a gift shop. You see a gift shop? I already knew where it was. I'd done seen it then. She said, it's right down there. I said, and of course, she's ready to give up, forego a meal for a gift shop, you know. So, we went down there and walked in that shop, and there wasn't nobody. See, nobody. But it was pretty big. It was long as this auditorium is here. So we was just looking in the racks as we came up through there. And I heard somebody crying way up the front in the corner there. And then I heard her. She knew we was in there. And she said, can I help you? And I said, no, don't get up. We're just browsing. And I said, you know, wait and see what I'm supposed to do here. Close to me, she said, you're a prophet. And I said, you know, I don't go around telling everybody I'm a prophet or an apostle or even a preacher. Right? If I get on an airplane and sit next to somebody, I don't never say, hey, I'm a preacher. You know why I don't? Because if I don't tell them I'm a preacher, we can probably have a pretty good conversation here at the next location. But the minute I tell them I'm a preacher, they don't know whether to treat me like the plague or like the Pope. That's right. But she says, said, I'm so glad you come. Said, you're going to believe this, I know, but I've been praying all day long that the Lord send me some help. And said, my troubles are more than I can stand. And I said, well, don't tell me any more. Let me do it. And so I said, come. She come, and I took her by the hands, and I said, you know, I see an airplane. Oh, boy, she almost lost control there. And I said, I see a man. And I said, I first thought it was her husband. But then, before I said that, I seen the resemblance between her and him. And I said, it's your brother. And as it turned out, it was her twin brother. And I said, well, he's in jail. And I told her what state he was in jail in. And I said, he hijacked an airplane and demanded a ransom and picked up the ransom in Dallas. And there was a shootout. But he didn't. There was an FBI man killed. He didn't kill him. But in the Rucas, he got killed. And they've got him over there. And she said, listen. I said, in 2 weeks, just 2 weeks from now, they're going to turn him loose. And he's going to come back to this state. And they're going to put him in an institution for an evaluation. And when they put him in there, you'll be notified and you go. But when you see him, don't say nothing to him. Just walk up to him and lay hands on him and say, in the name of Jesus, I deliver you from all evil. I deliver you from all of this trouble. In the name of Jesus, you are now to leave this place and dedicate your life to God, and you can walk free. And she was tickled beyond measure, you know. She believed it. Can you imagine her believing it? And I went back, and me and my wife went back and got in the car, and I started pulling out, and I just couldn't do it. It was just more than... I looked over at my wife, and the tears were streaming. We had just witnessed a real sovereign move of God. Well, say we went on home, never, and about 3 weeks later, got a letter. And I knew when I took it out of the box, I knew where it was from. I felt the same spirit I felt in the gift shop. I opened the letter and said, Dear Brother Harris, as sure as the Lord lives, a prophet stood in my gift shop 2 weeks ago and spoke an impossible word, but it was the word of the Lord. And I'm reporting to you that as you gave it, so has it transpired. It's over. And I'm happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. And I've got the letter in my file now, along with others. Maybe most of them not quite that dramatic. Well, say, the Lord did this through me in the parts realm. Now, but see, when he did that, he elevated me into a realm, into another dimension. See, he elevated me into another dimension that is above this dimension that I am so familiar with, where you got to sing before I preach. In this dimension, I can preach first. It won't matter. He elevated me here. Now, the point I'm making is, as much as I have been there and have operated ministry from that dimension, I know where it is. And I know that it's real. And I know that if I can meet the conditions, I can abide in that dimension. And in this dimension, hallelujah, in this dimension, the limits are removed. Hallelujah. You remember when Moses came to Israel, this great statesman, prophet, and Pharaoh said, well, show me some sign here if he's going to let all his people go and let them go for nothing. He said, well, throw this rod down. Throw it down, turn to snake. Well, that was pretty impressive, but Pharaoh just beckoned for one of his messengers, said, go bring in a couple of them soothsayer astrologers or whatever. And they brought him in. He showed them snake. They cast their rod down. They turned snake too. And of course, Moses' snake eat theirs, but they made snakes. And then the next miracle, Moses turns the water into blood, but they can do that too. Well, you'd think, but now Moses is getting pretty disappointed. And he may want to quit, but he didn't, because he has that distinction bred into him that he don't quit under pressure. What I got to do, Moses said to himself, I'm just going to keep on doing this. And one of these times I'll move into a dimension that they can't substitute. Hallelujah. And so finally he turned the sand into lice. And they called him in and they couldn't do that. You know why they couldn't do that? That's life. He moved into the dimension of creative life. Hallelujah. And when he began to create life, they couldn't do that. Hallelujah. So you see, all we got to do now is just keep moving with God, keep believing God until we move into a dimension that cannot be substituted or counterfeited. Hallelujah. And I've been there. I have been there. Hallelujah. I was so graced to be lifted up in that dimension more than one time. And one time was when I foretold the bounty. Say, this deliverance that I foretold for this guy was just too good to be true. I mean, you couldn't believe it in your wildest imagination. The enemy tried to make me doubt it till all the time. And I had to admit to myself that it seems highly unlikely. But then if you just go around prophesying highly likely things. Anybody might make a couple of correct guesses, mightn't they? Yeah. Hallelujah. But when you get into that realm that can't be questioned, God done it. Well, it wasn't me, it was God. And I just was fortunate enough to had a keen enough hearing that I heard his voice. Hallelujah. And I was submissive enough just to submit and see what the Lord will do. Hallelujah. I think that we'd be surprised, really, if we'd learn just to submit and see what the Lord will do. See what he'll do. I tell you, he'd do it. Hallelujah. Well, he's raising up a people that the prophet of long ago looked down through the scope of time and seen this people that God's raising up. He tried to describe them in poetic terms and fluent speech. He said it like this: the wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. That them's us. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to them, and the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen in you the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance. Even God with recompense, our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be opened, the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and springs in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons where he lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any beast, ravenous beast, shall go up thereon. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sadness and sorrow shall flee away. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That'll be the realm of the fullness of Him who has called us into this marvelous life. I tell you, the Lord says, I shall not cease to work my miracles through you. I shall not cease to work my nature in you until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of your Lord and of His Christ, saith the Lord. Yea, and then shall come the day, yea, that thou shalt know of a certainty that you have entered into a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, saith the Lord. Yea, there are many pitfalls between here and there. Yea, and anywhere in the wilderness you may abort. But if you follow on to know the Lord, good things await you. Yea, great and magnificent things are awaiting you. Yes, thou shalt move in ministry that will amaze your very self, saith the Lord. Yea, do not put it off. Begin to submit to the Lord now, tonight. Yea, saith the Lord. Yea, and things shall begin to happen in the very near future, saith the Lord. Yea, it could be sooner than you think that you will be called upon. Yea, you'll be called upon and desperately needed. Will you be sufficient for the need? I tell you now that you can be, saith the Lord. Yea, it'll take commitment on your part. It'll take submission on your part, saith the Lord. Yea, you'll have to learn of me. Oh, yes, you'll have to take my yoke upon you. Yea, and learn of me. I am meek and lowly. Yea, thou shalt also be, saith the Lord. Yea, and thou shalt speak the word, the creative word. Yea, a resurrected word, saith the Lord. Yea, and things shall transpire, good things. Thou shalt bind the strong man of the house and loot his, plunder his goods, saith the Lord. Yea, thou shalt, and even now, in this hour, in this day, is the time for the binding of that strong man of the house being this world, yea, and the things of this world. You must bind the strong man, or else how can you plunder his goods, saith the Lord. Yea, it is time to begin to bind and to loose. Yea, the secret is to know what to bind and what to turn loose, saith the Lord. Yea, for whatsoever you bind here is bound in the tabernacles in heaven. Whatsoever you loose here shall be loosed in the tabernacles of heaven, saith the Lord, thou God. For I give unto you great power and great authority, and with this comes great responsibility. Do you want to walk with me, the Lord would say? Are you willing to share the reproach, yea, that comes with the very statement of saying, I am the Son of God. Yea, I am of the elite, the elect. Yea, I know that it is not boastful within yourself. Yea, but you're saying the Lord has made made something out of me who was nothing. Yea, the Lord can take little and make much. The Lord can take much and make it little too, saith the Lord. Yea, it comes with your submission, your obedience to me. And do this, saith the Lord, and you shall live. Yea, you shall... Oh. Enter, yea, arise up and leave this realm of death. and rise up into the dimension of life. Yea, for know that death worketh in all the creatures of the of this universe, yea, and of this world, but life and peace worketh in those that have nestled up next to me, have come under the shelter of my shadow, saith the Lord. Yea, have entered into the secret place of the Lord. Life and peace belongeth to you, saith the Lord. And I say again, yea, without reservation I say, that you shall not die, but you shall live. For the Lord of glory liveth, and because I live, you may live also, saith the Lord. Yea, be not afraid of life. Yea, neither be afraid of death. Yea, for neither can separate you from the love of God, saith the Lord. Yea, nothing can separate you from my love. But you know, my people, that there are many things that can separate you from my presence. Yea, be not guilty of those things, and you will be in my presence. Yea, and when that day star arises, you will arise with it, saith the Lord. Yea, and you will go over again and not under. Yea, you will rise up and not lay down. Yea, you will stand and not fall. It is the Lord that sustains you. You are my people, and you're the sheep of my pasture. I'm not ashamed to say I'm your shepherd, saith the Lord. Yea, I'm not ashamed to say that you are my children. I'm not ashamed to call you brethren. Yea, for I have brought you far, saith the Lord. And there is further, much further to go yet. But you're well on your way, and he who hath brought you this far is well able to sustain you until you come to Zion. And there you will see eye to eye. And there you will be reinforced again and again and again. And you will never know any more limitations, for the Lord shall live through thee. Oh, hallelujah. 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 You know, Paul said, in him we live, move, and have our being. I always say that it is equally true. That's true, but it is equally true that in us he lives, he moves, and he has his being. You want to see? Hallelujah. Amen. If you see the Lord, you'll likely see him right through his body. Hey, I doubt that many had just a direct confrontation with God himself. Some godly saint impressed you and caused you to come to the Lord. Of course, the Lord was waiting. There's a sovereign move of God in the land today. Say, why do you think there's so much unrest? People are everywhere hungry for God. Yeah, there's a lot of people hungry for God. They're wanting to come with God and don't know how. And ain't nobody there to tell them. Talking to a fellow the other day, and he said, hey, I'm twice born, Brother Jack. And I said, well, I am too, but hey, you're twice born? Oh, yeah, I'm twice born. Well, I don't have any problem with that. But have you been twice weaned? That's another lesson, though. I wanted that. Praise the Lord. Thank God forever. You're a good congregation. My Lord, what a beautiful congregation this is, Irma. And the great attention that you have given to us tonight, I feel privileged, and it's my pleasure to teach you. I'd like to have a whole month to teach you. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Father, just now, I want to invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for this people that are under the sound of our voice tonight, Lord. I want to seal the word of God that is going forth in their hearts and in their spirits, O Lord. If I've said anything that's unprofitable to the kingdom of God, I pray that you'd have us just to forget it before we could get out of the building. But if it will be profitable in our pursuit of the kingdom of God, I pray that you'll seal it to our spirits forever. In Jesus' great name, now the choicest blessings from heaven are yours, saith the Lord. Oh, praise God forever. Praise the wonderful Lord Jesus. Thank God forever. Oh, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of good things in the land that God has placed. Praise the Lord. Well, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I guess we want to dismiss. Praise the Lord. Well, let's give the Lord a great big praise offering. We'll be dismissed. We'll come back in the morning. Praise the Lord. God bless you real good. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord forever. Bless the lovely Lord. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him, and forevermore I will ring with Him. All hail King Jesus.
Hallelujah.
King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'm going to pray Him, and
lift your voices and sing it tonight. Hallelujah.
All hail in Jesus. All hail Emmanuel.
King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And eternity, I'm going to praise Him, and forevermore I will reign with Him. Bless the Lord who reigns in me. Bless the Lord who reigns with wisdom and with power. Bless the Lord who reigns my life with so much love. He can make, hallelujah, a perfect heart. Bless the Lord who reigns in beauty.
Think about it tonight.
Bless the Lord who reigns with wisdom and with power. Bless the Lord who reigns my life with so much love. He can make a perfect.
Let's sing it a cappella tonight and swell your voices.
Bless the Lord who reigns in beauty. Bless the Lord wisdom and with power. Bless the Lord who reigns my life with so much love. He can make a perfect heart. Bless the Lord who reigns.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.